This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money midweek. That means one thing, Mr. Palm, Mike Palm, of course, Circa the D, Golden Gate Casino's VP of Ops, VSiN host, at Mike Palm Circa on Twitter. He's sitting next to the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, downtown Las Vegas. At the D, right in front of Bar Canada, I'm Patrick Maher. We've got Palm versus the big guy coming up in just a little bit. But as we say hi to Mr. Palm, Circa Millions and Circa Survivor off to a tremendous start with signups, huh?
Yeah, you know, we closed June, Patrick, last year at just over 900. 912 between the two, approximately 600 and 300. We're already at 1,400.
Whoa! You were 900 a week ago.
Yeah, and we've got, 4 days left to go here in June. So it's pretty promising. The pacing is really good on both events. Obviously, a little more spiked on Survivor. But, the early returns are such a minuscule part of it. At the end of the day, it all comes down to the last few weeks in August. But, I mean, this kind of pacing, I mean, you know, maybe we set ourselves up where we're already over 4 million when we head into August, and maybe we have a shot to get, you know, 13 million, 14, who knows. But early on, I had them run on Monday. There were just about 600 individual people that had signed up for the two contests. And it was almost an even 50-50 split of whether they played in the contest last year or whether they were new to the contest. So that's encouraging as well.
Interesting. It's good to get that data so you know, wow. Because those ones that hadn't played or have played, they'll end up signing up. So, yeah, that's interesting. Well, what did you say your number was, Mike?
I thought we'd be just under 11,000. I don't know many people still thought we'd be over 12. The early returns say north of 12 pretty easily, but like I say, it's a minuscule point. Yeah, the point I wanted to know is because was it people are just coming earlier this year that's our regular players to sign up? No, half of them have not played before, so that's a great sign that we're exposing to new market.
Well, what I think is most interesting about I just think the retention, I can't imagine after finally doing it last year, Patrick, myself, and Mike Somich split a ticket. I can't imagine someone does it once and then doesn't do Survivor. I just can't imagine sign up once. Can't imagine.
It's the new customers coming in because you're going to keep them. It's so much fun. It's such a great tournament. Yeah, it's such a great contest. Speaking of great, did Circa do well on Game 7? Because it felt like the money was coming in on the Oilers, no?
Yeah, so we needed to – before the series started, we needed Florida for the future book as well. We took a bet on Monday morning when we were at Oilers minus 109 for 218,000 to win 200 on the Oilers. Now we wrote back about half of that, but we still were 100,000 heavy on the Game 7 side, plus another 150,000 heavy in the future book. So we were big Panthers fans on Monday night and got there.
Wow. Wow. We're going to talk a little bit about the hockey coming up in Palm versus the big guy. But the Conor McGregor, Mike, obviously, he's transcendent. But can we get some production in Game 6 and Game 7? It feels like those are two important games.
He had two games. I mean, he had the Games 4 and 5 where he had 8 points, and that was it. I mean, the betting market was incredible in Game 6 when he didn't have a shot on goal. And he opened it when the puck dropped. He was around $3. There was places he was minus 275. He was minus 3,000 to minus 3,500, having not had a shot on goal and been a total non-factor. In other words, the market's saying if Edmonton extends it to 7, he wins no matter what. And he wasn't productive as well where they needed him. Now they played him the entire third period. It seemed that top line. But what choice did he have? Did Knobloch have?
Well, and you had a good ticket on Bobrovsky. Did you feel alive there? Did you think you were winning it, or just think you just had a chance?
No, I thought I had a really outside chance in game. Really outside chance. I mean, if you had wanted me to bet it again, I probably would have needed 10-1. And, you know, I had it at 9-1. And then he was reset after game 5 at 9-1 when he was minus $5 after game 3. Right. And I protected it by sprinkling on Barkov, never thinking the Oilers were going to make it a series. So I end up with the big goose egg in the Conn Smythe market.
Yeah, and Barkov ends up in the voting second, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he did.
It was. Well, we'll get to. I don't want to give too much away on what Game Seven means. Next up, you've got the college football championship odds posted over at Circa Sports.
Yeah, and we posted our games of the year last week as well. You know, just like with when we put the props up for the Super Bowl, you get three bets in back of the line, or as we do the games when we post them every Sunday morning. Next week's college football games, guys like Paul Stone fly out. Three bets and then to the back of the line. You can't have one person get first crack at every one of the games. We had some, I have about 25, 30 guys come out when we opened the lines last week. Boy, I'm looking. This Ohio State team, I mean, if you're reading the press, this might be the greatest team of all time. They haven't taken a snap yet, but at every position, it seems like this is the dominant team. I know our friend Amal told me he thought Ohio State should be a favorite to win it. This was late last year before the season was over. He said, Mike, look at them next year. I don't know if he thought they were going to be this good. And, of course, we haven't seen them play yet, but it looks like even more one-sided than Georgia's been for a few years
now.
Well,
I mean, they're all in because it's a direct reaction to what happened with Michigan, right?
Yeah.
The rival wins the title. They were able to hang that over their head for so long with the run with Urban Meyer and Tressel and relevancy for the Wolverines over the years. I mean, Caleb Downs from Alabama comes over. And they bring in Chip Kelly. That's another massive move as the OC. He stopped being a Power 5 head coach to be their offensive coordinator because he doesn't want to deal with NIL anymore. But I think the most fascinating one is Will Howard, who I liked at Kansas State and I think could be good in this system. There's talk that this Julian Sayer kid, who's a freshman, might win the job for the Buckeyes, and he might be worth the shot for Heisman. He might be worth it.
Really?
If he wins the job just because he has NFL receivers, Ibuka's back, and the system with Kelly, he could put up massive numbers, and they're going to be awesome.
You know the bet
what's funny about Chip Kelly. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
All I see is
what's funny about Chip Kelly is that I literally, the day after it was announced that he was leaving UCLA, I was walking on this. There's just this thing called the Strand along the beach here, and he was walking and talking. And I could hear it. He was very animated. And I just got thinking, I'm like, dude, the guy's walking along the beach, obviously conducting business, and he's moving as a head coach from UCLA in Los Angeles to Columbus, Ohio. It just seemed ironic that he's walking along the beach doing business about headed to Columbus. But anyway, I digress.
I would say two things.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly, it's amazing how all these former players for the Eagles really hate this guy.
I can't
believe.
They're still talking about
it. It's like worse than Russell Wilson. It's the hatred.
LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson cannot stop saying how awful he was.
We won. Garbage. I mean, what's the one? The shady's going on. And calling all his former teammates up. What's the one word when you hear Chip Kelly?
Yeah.
Right? And they're all just trashing this guy. I think an interesting bet to look at, Patrick and Dustin, will Texas go undefeated in the regular season?
In the SEC, huh?
Yeah, but if you look at their schedule, they get Michigan, but very early. I think Michigan will be okay, but obviously they got to turn that whole roster over. I think they got the right coach in succession there. But so they get them early, and they get the tough games at home, it looks like, in the SEC. I was looking at that at north of 3-1. I think it's an interesting wager. What are your thoughts, Dustin, as you look at the schedule?
Well, Michigan's going to stink. So that's a win right there.
Michigan is down.
I would say, one, Oklahoma, no matter what the talent discrepancy is, it's still close to a coin flip regardless. Georgia's going to be tough. Texas is not used to facing a team like Georgia that late in the year. I think Georgia's going to be right back to where they were a year ago. Florida, I think, was better than people give credit for under Napier a year ago. And then you finish at A&M, so you're at Kyle Field. I think that makes it tough. But if they beat Georgia, then, yeah, I think your bet's looking good.
I like it. The sport, good thing we're on a betting network because the sport is ruined. No regionality. The Cal, literally coast to the Atlantic coast, is in the ACC. What is this? Everything's upside down, Mike. It's a disaster.
Yeah, and Notre Dame, I don't know why they just don't join the ACC. They've got it in every other sport. Under this playoff format, you know, Notre Dame could go undefeated and be ranked number one. They're the 5 seed. They can't get a bye. I mean, doesn't this tell you you must join a conference now?
Did you always feel that way, or is it just evolved lately?
No, I always I never thought this exclusiveness in your own and NBC.
Yeah.
They're a natural Big Ten team. Look at their rivals are Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State. Those are the teams they always, every 5 years, go through the home and homes, and they rotate them. And that those are their natural rivals there. They're supposed to be a Big Ten team, but they stub their nose at the Big Ten so often. I don't know that now the Big Ten ever want them back.
Yeah. The glory years for you. It had to be with Lou, right?
Oh, I was there when Lou was there. Maybe one of the best things about my experience at Notre Dame was getting to listen to Lou speak on the Fridays before home game Saturdays. He is an incredible, motivational speaker. And to have that opportunity, you know, almost 20 times from the time I was there, each and every time was fantastic.
Did you bring a raincoat?
No.
Spit.
No, he really is a great motivation. I had a history teacher once show us motivational speeches from Lou Holtz. He's good. He's good. He came down to South Carolina when I was there, and it was like a big deal because he brought credibility to, you know, an SEC team that was kind of way under the radar. Yeah, our boy Lou Holtz won some football games as well. Okay, it's time for Palm versus the big guy. Some controversy last week as Dustin stormed off the set. But you did say, did you go back and watch it? He generally likes to watch himself.
No,
And you admitted that maybe you didn't win last week?
No, I don't think my performance was great, but I still stand by the fact that Mike didn't follow the rules of the questions.
I don't know,
so I'll have to pay closer attention.
I mean, you're asked a question. Can't you have a counter opinion to the options given? I'll follow the rules now. Obviously, that means something to Dustin.
Wow. Dustin coming hot today. We're back. Palm versus the big guy.
Is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSIN Pro, get a month for free, $1.99, vsin.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SHARP to unlock the deal. Okay, it's time for Palm versus the big guy. Some controversy during the break, but we got the record straight here. 10-4-1 to Mike Palm. Dustin, you won the coin toss backstage. I'll try to keep the clock tight for you today because I know that was a concern. And we're going to start here. Better experience as a fan. Super Bowl Sunday, all-encompassing, everything involved, or Game 7 of an NHL final, Dustin?
The Super Bowl is the single most overrated sports event of the year. Going to a regular season is a hassle. Going to a Super Bowl with the extra security and the longer lines and all the focus and the buildup and all the events outside the arena, I can't imagine the hassle that it is. It sounds awful to be at the game. Long commercials, long halftime, lots of people don't care. The NHL Game 7 buildup is unique because it doesn't always happen. It's exciting. And the intensity of playoff hockey, where the Super Bowl can be a dud as a game, it's like a 2.5-hour Kegel workout.
I agree with Dustin here. The moments of sheer intensity throughout that 2.5 hours of an NHL Game 7, it's always going to be there, Patrick. Super Bowls can be lopsided and oftentimes are. Dustin's completely right about the headache that it is to get in and out and having to deal with all the extra security at a Super Bowl. It's TSA gone crazy. But the palpability and the fact of the building drama of an NHL Game 7 leaves you almost emotionally exhausted. Time.
Mike Palm, the Florida Panthers are the most odd franchise in the four majors when you combine location, sport, fan base, everything. What's the number two as far as franchise across the four majors?
Boy, I had to look at this hard. I think you have to stay in the state of Florida and go with the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, this is just a team without really a fan base. They rank in the bottom three in attendance every year, and it's not because they have a bad product. The low payroll, Kevin Cash, but has them in the playoffs perennially, but it's an awful, awful stadium. It's almost like the Chargers in that the visiting fans outnumber the Rays fans. They don't draw on the road as well. It's just a misplaced team and a misplaced stadium without a real fan base.
Yeah, I thought about them. I am going to stick with baseball, though. because there's a team in a market that doesn't deserve two teams. And really, this one team is in the market, but they're not really. They're pretending to be, just like the noses and chests of the women in this city. The Angels of Los Angeles are the most weird team we have. First of all, they're in a suburb. Why is there a team in the suburbs? Secondly, they're literally off a highway in a dilapidated stadium that is falling apart with no history or mystique to it. They want you to think they matter because they claim they're in L.A. even though they are in Anaheim. If they folded tomorrow, the world of baseball would not miss them. Outside of 2002 and mentioning that Mike Trout no one watches, we don't think about the Angels.
Dustin, what's your biggest fear?
All right. My biggest fear is weird. I watched a video in health class in seventh grade where a woman choked on a piece of steak. And ever since then, I've been terrified of choking. The daughter in Field of Dreams, which chokes on the hot dog and passes out. I can't even watch the scene. It freaks me out. In fact, 3 weeks ago, I was at a pho place. This is really horrible to admit. I ordered fatty brisket with my soup, and I had to stand up and thought I was literally choking in the middle of the restaurant. Everyone looked at me as I gagged and spit out my food. I once choked on a strawberry candy in class, and
My biggest fear, Patrick, is being eaten alive by rats. I can't stand rats. They scare me. I don't want to be gnawed at with their diseased fangs. I mean, rats almost took out the entire continent of Europe. I shudder anytime I even see a small mouse. Hate rats.
Mike Palm, keep one and only one sports month and toss the rest. What month are you keeping?
I'm keeping October. I'm keeping October because you get playoff baseball. You have the start of the NHL and the NBA, and you're in full swing in the NFL season. You've got an idea of what the teams are going to be like, and you start playing meaningful conference games in college football. It's the best of all the sports. And, yes, you have major soccer leagues in action as well. October. Tough choice. Good question. I'm saying October.
Okay. It is October. The potential of the sports equinox is just the ultimate. We just experienced where we had all these professional and collegiate sports going at once. The World Series, NFL's in full swing where we really know who these teams are. College football conference play begins where it gets a little bit more intense. The NHL and NBA begin. From a betting perspective, it's a degenerate's paradise where there's nonstop action to bet on. But from an attending sports perspective, the crisp in the fall air puts it over the top.
Dustin, question for you. You just had a great meal. The perfect dessert is what?
It's ice cream. It's the only answer. Because if I had a perfect meal, it means I'm so full I can barely stand up. It means I'm so full that I'm undoing my pants at the table. And ice cream is the perfect dessert in that regard because it melts and fills in the cracks inside your belly. That's the key here. You can't stack on cake or pie or something that's hard like that. Ice cream will melt to become liquid, and it fills in those cracks, and it cools off a hot meal. And if you're lactose intolerant like me.
I think, Patrick, it's pumpkin cheesecake. And it's a rare delicacy because you only get it at a certain time of the year. But oh, how I wish you could enjoy it for 12 months. I did have the opportunity at one point in my life to have almost the perfect meal every night. I was dating a lady that was a very good cook. I had a nice tenderloin. I had creamed corn. I had a beautiful baked potato, a salad with French dressing, and, yes, some pumpkin cheesecake.
If you're the Knicks, Mike Palm, are you keeping Thibodeau or bringing in Jay Wright?
I think it's tough to make that transition from college to the pros, and you have a known commodity here in Tom Thibodeau. You can take all Jay Wright stats at Villanova, but I don't know they translate. Tom Thibodeau's a two-time coach of the year in 2011, 2021. When he was with the Bulls, his teams led the league in close game winning percentage at 63%. And you're paying Tom Thibodeau $7 million a year. What's it going to take Jay Wright to get out of that comfy booth? $10 million a year, $12 million a year? I'll stick with Thibodeau.
The New York Knicks have given the keys to the organization to Jalen Brunson. In doing so, he has brought in all of his friends, first Hart, then DiVincenzo, now Bridges. So the assumption is his college coach should be next, and I don't think that's the right move. Jay Wright's a Hall of Famer, but we have no belief that he can do it at the NBA level. Tom Thibodeau, for the first time in his career, actually has players that fit what he wants to do. They're hard-nosed, they're gritty, they're intense. They play all the way out. And if we're being fair, none of these guys were these players in their other stops in their career until they met Tom Thibodeau. You let Tom Thibodeau run this team.
Time. Dustin, we talk about the NBA and Major League Baseball. What U.S. city most deserves an NFL franchise?
So I think it's really important if you're going to move or open up a team in a new city that they have to have support right away. And football needs to matter. So you can't just go somewhere and convince them to care more about football, which is why Oklahoma City should get an NFL team. Oklahoma City's proven as a sports town. They support the Sooners through and through. Football couldn't be bigger there. But secondly, they've proven with the Thunder, if you give them an opportunity to showcase that they can support a pro franchise, they will do it to the full degree.
I thought this was an obvious answer in St. Louis, Missouri. Patrick, the way they supported the Rams when they were there, they already have a facility built for football. And let's just look at the UFL. With an average product, the St. Louis Battlehawks drew 35,000 people per game. The league average in Stormy's UFL, just 12,000. Three times the average attendance. These people are dying since they get lost the Rams to L.A. to have a team back, and they deserve it.
Okay, I got to get one more in. Quick.
Down to two.
We gas station must-haves on a road trip, Mike Palm.
They must have a big coffee menu, first of all, because you're driving long distances and you need caffeine to stay awake. But most importantly are clean restrooms, Patrick. These rest areas anymore are felony areas. I wouldn't take my family into these rest stops. Half of them in California are closed. Next one in 1,700 miles. It's a joke. Gas stations must provide clean, safe restrooms.
I can help you avoid that by operating with my three-course meal of my sophisticated palate. Unlike women I date, I have an oral fixation. Therefore, I have to be chewing on something at all times to satisfy my ADHD. So I go with sunflower seeds, part one. Part two is you need something to hydrate you. Nothing does that better than Gatorade with the electrolytes. We then followed up with dessert, which is the Snickers ice cream bar that is somehow better than the actual Snickers candy bar. You avoid the bathroom because you have a Gatorade bottle. You're welcome.
Okay. Dustin wins 3-3. Fezzik is chiming in. Palm loses automatically for the pumpkin answer, which was terrible. Dustin wins question one. I agree. Palm copied him, he said. Palm slam dunk wins question number two. I had that as a push. Palm wins question three with the Black Plague, the rats, okay? Dustin wins question four with the keyword Equinox. Question five, two terrible answers. Pumpkin, anything is horrendous. Dustin wins. I had Dustin with the gas station answer winning 2-1. The rest were pushes for me. I had Dustin winning the Super Bowl answer, and I had Palm winning the pumpkin cheesecake answer because I just thought his answer was better. Fellas, Dustin, you're back on the board.
The way I worked the refs in this one, Coach K would be proud.
You were
Mike, are you okay with it?
I'm fine. I'm Patrick. You're not going to see me throwing off my headset and stomping off the stage.
Oh, shots fired. Have a great vacation
you too,
with the
guys.
Family, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Mike. Mike Palm.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by your state, the betting tools, and the betting guides. It's all there. Remember, VSiN.com, where tomorrow you're going to find the all-new NFL betting guide brought to you by everybody here at VSiN. So that's coming up tomorrow. But tonight, we've got the NBA draft. Excited to talk to Derek Murray about it. The scouting service. He's a basketball scout at the Scouting Service, which is a company used by NBA and NCAA teams to evaluate talent. Derek, previously at SI, Basketball News and Sports Info Solutions. Been a scout since 17, of course, and we say hi to Derek. Derek, welcome to the program. Thank you for the time. A busy day, I know. Progressive guest line brings you Derek. Klingon right now is 5-1 to go one overall. You're hearing buzz that teams want to jump up for the UConn big, correct?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not confident enough to say that I think he'll go one as of today. That's not a gamble I would make, but I do not think he'll be on the board long. I think a lot of teams in that 7-12, 7-15, depending on what kind of assets they have, Klingon is a guy that they're trying to move up for.
And what do you think about the player? Obviously not a shooter that's going to stretch the floor, but a tremendous defender, good hands. How do you see Klingon fitting in at the next level?
So bigs generally take a long time to develop. Coming out of college, you're usually a couple years away from being highly impactful on the NBA floor. But I think Klingon, even though he's only 20, 20 and a half years old, physically he's ready to go be on an NBA floor tomorrow, which I think is unique. He's already built. You know, he has a lot of muscle on his body, moves pretty well, physically and mentally tough. He checks a lot of boxes. And even though he didn't shoot a ton in college, with the game continuing to, you know, be more important on the perimeter, his flashes of shooting, especially the touch, whether it's in practice or drills, I think a lot of teams buy that as well. And all those combined together in a non-superstar heavy draft, you look at a guy who maybe ends up being a 10 or 12 year starter, you know, that's why people want to go up and get him.
I should start there. Derek Murray joining us with the scouting service. But we've heard so much about the draft and it just being a breadth of talent. You've been scouting this for a long time. Is it a bad draft?
You know, I don't want to call it bad. That being said, like, there's just no bona fide superstar or superstars at the top. I think there's a lot of players that will be starters for many, many years. You'll have multi-year career guys, you know, maybe an all-star or two to come out of this. But there's just nobody that this early pre-draft you can put your stamp on and say, all right, this is the one. These are the ones we're going to bank on. So a lot of executives are not thrilled with the second round. I think some of that has to do with the NIL landscape of college basketball. You know, financially, there are incentives for older players to return to college and make a lot of money. You know, as we all saw Coleman Hawkins go get that huge deal, you know, maybe 2 weeks ago. So you have someone like Coleman Hawkins, who in this draft might be a 25 to 35 type kid, who now is just not there anymore, not even an option. And you're seeing that happen over and over and over. It really weakens the second round. I think that's the feeling that most people have.
So right now, minus 500 at DraftKings that Richiche, the kid from France, goes one overall to the Hawks. I haven't really heard much as far as good is being talked about when it comes to Richiche, the player. What do you think about the player?
A lot of theoretical and somewhat realistic and already discovered upside. So he's big, he's long, he moves very well. So you know, physical movements, movement skills, something that's very important when you try to project a teenager into the NBA. And he checks every single one of those boxes. Handles can be loose at times, but they've been tight enough to where you buy them. The shot's been kind of erratic, but he's hit enough to where you buy it. So you have the physical giftedness that he has just naturally. Plus, even with some issues, he's played at a high level, started some playoff games overseas, or started some important games overseas. I think there's just enough that those combined with the fact that I just don't think Sarr wants to be in Atlanta. I think we've all kind of seen those reports come out over the last week or so. I think that's what pushes Richiche to number one.
Yeah, Sarr is a big favorite to go to the Wizards. Tell us about the player. Obviously, the Frenchman by way of now Australia. What's up with Alexander Sarr?
Extremely talented, extremely gifted. There's a reason that Overtime Elite went out and got him as a youngster. So he had some issues at Overtime, just not being, I mean, the fine tuning, the motor skills just weren't quite ready yet for that stage. He goes to Australia and really performs at a high level. Physically, he grew into his body. He filled out. A lot of weight was put on him, and all of it was good. So I think you look at a skilled big man who maybe is probably more, maybe other than Klingon, probably would be the quickest big to come in and give meaningful minutes to a franchise in the NBA. The skill, his ability to play inside and out, the more modern, quote, you know, modern big, if you want to call him that, that's the draw there at number two.
If you're making the pick, Reed Shepard and Stephon Castle, two players we know here from college, both have specialties. Obviously, Reed the shooter, Stephon the defender. Which way would you go? Do you like both players?
I do. I like them both. I thought that Shepard was severely underrated in high school because he doesn't look the part. You know, he walks past you. He's pretty unassuming. Unassuming, quiet kid. The competitiveness, the work ethic is not something that's boisterous in any way. So I understand why a lot of people overlooked him out of high school. I would take Shepard. I think his hands defensively, not to say Castle's not a good defender, because he can be, but I think the two-way versatility of Shepard really, really shined this year at Kentucky. All the steals, the threes, now he's not going to be a 50% three-point shooter in the NBA like he was in college. That's just not sustainable. But the fact that you can do that with the way the game is being played, that's why I would take him. Shooting is a difference maker in the league nowadays. You hit shots, you win games. And I think his ability to do that at a high level is what separates him for me, even though they're both going to be pretty good defenders.
I want to ask you about Elton Connect because, and again, we're talking to Derek Murray, the scouting service. Obviously a little bit older, but just scored at every level at Tennessee last year. Do you like the player Connect?
I do, as long as you know that there are going to be streaks where you're pretty frustrated. Yeah, doesn't make him a bad player, bad prospect. A lot of these guys are streaky at times. But there are moments where, man, he can miss a lot of shots in a row. Or sometimes he can make decisions with the ball in his hand where you go, man, that was a little bit too aggressive. You know, that window wasn't there. Let's try to make the smarter, maybe the more basic read next time. But I'd rather that be your issue than a lack of competitiveness or a lack of wanting to fit that ball in that tight window. I'd rather you take maybe a reckless shot every once in a while with reckless confidence than you not be a confident shooter, because I can work with one of those. So Connect's ability to do it at a smaller school, bounce up to Tennessee, do it again. I think he's well earned himself into this mock draft position he's in. I think 6-7 is probably where he'll end up tonight.
Derek, give me a player that we're sleeping on. Give me a player that you like that maybe hasn't been discussed as much as he should be.
Yeah, I really like Bub Carrington out of Pittsburgh. Bub was a guy who was probably ranked anywhere between 50 and 75 most of the times during the year in high school. I saw him at an event in New York, I think two years ago in December. I remember sitting baseline texting some of the guys I work with. I said, look, Carrington might be a pro. I said, I don't know if that makes me crazy. I'm not going to put this out there publicly saying this kid ranked 77th as a professional, but like internally I see it. He's a very violent mover as a teenager, which is very difficult to do. The birthday is real. You know, a lot of times you get these physically developed kids and it turns out they're way older than we think they are, that they tell people they are. Like, he's a very, very young player, moves very well, highly competitive, has the mental wiring you would want in a guard at the next level. So I think he's probably 2 years away from contributing. But long term, Carrington is a guy that personally I would probably take higher than he'll go tonight.
It's a great name. Remove the last name James. Is Bronny James an NBA player?
Long term, I think so, yes. Long term. The shooting is real. I think the media, I'll say the media as a whole, not anyone in particular, any, you know, outlet or social media pusher in particular, you start calling him 6'4", 6'5", all the time. You know, for us who saw him up close in high school, he never was that. So you put some expectations were put on him, both physically, projection-wise, as what does he do in college? Does he start in college? What can he shoot? A lot of people just projected a lot of things on him, no fault of his own. And I think that's why some of the expectations people were upset about when he didn't reach them. So I do think he's an NBA player. I think it will take some time. The speed of the game will be what he has to adjust to. Physically, he'll be okay. Strong, quick, like built kid. The speed of the game sometimes at USC just was very, very fast. I think some time in the G League could be good. And then ultimately, yes, I do think he ends up in the NBA.
Tremendous. Derek Murray, Derek _ Murray on Twitter. The Scouting Service is a company used by NBA and NCAA teams to evaluate talent. Derek, that was awesome. Enjoy the draft tonight. Thank you for your time.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
Okay, buddy. Thank you very much. Progressive Guest Line brought you Derek Murray. When we come back, we'll jump into Major League Baseball, and then Mike Somich joins.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, coming up tomorrow, we've got a big day. NFL Betting Guide comes out tomorrow, so there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro. Our all-new NFL Betting Guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools needed to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights You need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, get an annual subscription to VSiN and become a VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. It's normally $240. And right now you can sign up for $199 with the promo code SHARP. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide tomorrow and this incredible offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now and use the promo code SHARP. You get 13 months of VSiN Pro action for just $199. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Sharp Money, DraftKings VSiN, the sports betting network. Got a shocker going on in the Euros as Georgia leads Portugal 2-0. Now, Portugal didn't need the win to advance, so it maybe not a surprise that they draw, but the fact that you can't score against Georgia is a freaking disaster. Turkey and Czechia are tied at 1. Turkey got the lead when Czechia was on a red card. Czechia scored down a man, which is pretty impressive. And earlier today, Belgium-Ukraine 0-0 tie, and Slovakia-Romania 1-1 tie. As the Euros continue, of course, the big guy fired up. Later, you have, of course, Copacabana, your boy. Let's see. Copa tonight. Ecuador, Jamaica. Ecuador is going to be a favorite there. Venezuela, Mexico. Mexico is going to be a favorite. Although Mexico stinks. I'll just say that. Time for three up, three down. A little baseball. Let's get some plays in before we get Samich going. Big guy, where are we starting?
I don't know why you're surprised by Georgia. That SEC defense, and we know it just matters more there. That's why they're beating Portugal. Yeah.
Knew it was coming. Still made me chuckle.
All right, let's begin with not mine, not yours, but our Los Angeles Dodgers.
Hey.
Because it's an embarrassment of riches. Just like, it's one thing when the stars are performing. It's another thing when their young guys are stepping up to the plate. And he's going today for the Dodgers on the road at the White Sox. And that is the young Gavin Stone on the bump. Over the last month, this guy's thrown 30 innings on the dot. He has a 2.10 ERA, 29 punch-outs, 2 quality starts, including one, by the way. He was very good in Colorado, which is a difficult thing, especially for young guys to do. And it's just another young gun stepping up to the plate for this Dodger team that expects to go deep into the postseason. Stone, by the way, on the road in the South Side, he is a 2.91 ERA on the road this year. He's 5-1. He's actually better away from Dodger Stadium, despite Dodger Stadium being a great pitcher's park.
Taking on your boy Fetty.
Who's been really good.
Washington today. Yeah, Fetty's been good.
Fetty's having a good year. That's a good trade chip for the White Sox this year. He went overseas. I can't remember if it was Japan or Korea. Picked up some new pitches. Came back. Signed like for $7.5 million with the White Sox. And I think they're going to be able to get a couple prospects for him along the way to a contender. I think someone like St. Louis could make sense, who wants to lengthen that rotation because Lance Lynn stinks. I think he could be a good option there.
What's the price on that? Is it $170 today?
Yeah, it's
Dodgers.
Which actually feels kind of light when you think about how different these two teams are right now. Like the top of baseball, the bottom of baseball, and you only have to lay $170 with Stone on the road.
$158, I got it at.
Whoa, that is a great number.
Look at the big guy.
Whoa.
Coming out of shoes with that number.
I was shocked it wasn't $2. I really was.
Well, you just mentioned it. Fetty's been good.
Yeah, no, he has, but the problem is with the White Sox, if they do get a lead early, hammer it in game against them because their bullpen is just so bad.
Oof. Who's next?
All right, the next one here, three up, three down around the world of baseball. Well, the Atlanta Braves, they're playing a doubleheader. First game going on right now, they're up 6-2. Later on, they will take on Matt Liberatore, who used to be a starter. He's more of a reliever now, so I don't know how deep he's going to go into the game, but that doesn't matter because Atlanta is a team over the last few seasons that has just mashed southpaws. So there's a chance they jump on Liberatore early. This season, they're not as good as they were a year ago, but they're still awesome. They are 7th in batting average against lefties, 29th in or 4th in homers with 29 this year against lefties, and they're the 9th best OPS against left-handers this season. The Atlanta Braves offense is starting to come around. It was an issue for a while there, but they're getting contributions from Austin Riley now. They're getting Matt Olson's power bat back.
I think the Braves are becoming who we thought they were going to be coming into the year. And I think in the summer, the ball's going to jump out of that ballpark.
Okay. Right now, up 6-2. You mentioned the doubleheader. I don't know if this is in your three up, three down, but how about Heel and Manaea tonight?
Yes.
At City.
That's three down. Let's go to three down, guys. Let's first begin with Sean Manaea. So Sean Manaea, he has bursts throughout his career where he looks like a very good serviceable pitcher. However, the last month has not been that. Just 20 innings. The K numbers are there, but he does get banged around a lot. A 6.75 ERA. No quality starts in the last month. And he's going to take on a Yankees lineup that's capable of putting up a lot of runs. I do have a bet in this game, Patrick. I'm going over team total Yankees here against the Mets. 4.5, got plus 105 this morning. I think the Yankees lineup, especially the four guys who give them the most production there at the top, I think they're going to get to Sean Manaea this afternoon. But
what about Heel?
It's Heel.
Because couldn't you just go full game over? Because Heel stinks.
Well, the question is, what was last start? So his last start
was a disaster.
But he was awesome going into
it. He didn't get through an inning in two-thirds.
Here's the question.
Gave up seven earned.
Is last week against Baltimore a great lineup? Is that an indicator of things to come? Or is it an outlier in a bad matchup? That's what we have to figure out here. Because, by the way, he is still the favorite for Rookie of the Year. So it's not just tonight on the line. It's how it plays into the awards market with Luis Heel. And I'm curious to see how that plays out against the Mets, who, while the Mets' offense has been hot, has disappeared a lot of times this year. So I think this is a big matchup, not just for the Mets, but for Luis Heel in that Rookie of the Year market.
Next up.
All right. Let's go back to three up, since you messed with my flow here. The Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles are the best team in baseball when it comes to smashing righties and power. They have the most home runs in all of baseball against righties. I guess that'd be northpaws. If lefties are southpaws, that means righties have to be northpaws. Eighth in average against right-handers, 251. Second best OPS at 767. The Baltimore Orioles have a very advantageous matchup this afternoon because they've got Cookie Carlos Carrasco, and he serves them up with milk on the side. Very hittable. Just not the guy he used to be. Right now, Baltimore laying 225 against Cleveland. Total's 8.5, which is a better number than I bet because I bet over 9. I do think Carlos Carrasco, who's part of our three down segment as well, he is going to get mashed by this Baltimore lineup that kills righties. On the other end, Grayson Rodriguez, he has not been nearly as sharp on the of late as he was early in the year before his injury. I have major concerns about Grayson Rodriguez being the ace I expect him to be for the long haul of the season because he is such a young starter. So facing Cleveland, they're being more aggressive this year under Stephen Vogt. They're swinging at pitches earlier in the count. I think we're going to get a lot of runs tonight. I went over 9. 8.5 is a better number.
Let me ask you a question. Hypothetically speaking, if you have a friend that wants to go heavy on that 4.5 even money over team total against Manaea Yankees.
Hypothetically.
You love it?
I will use terminology.
Be a man. Step up. Be a man. Be a man.
I'm going to use terminology that I think you will relate to.
Exit velo?
As you then, you know, send that message to your friend who wants to go heavy. I got the tingle.
That's all you need to say.
I got the tingle. Agent.
Zip it. Enough said.
That's a tremendous job by you. The tingle matters. You can give me numbers. You can give me analysis. You can look at the matchups
periodic
and everything.
Table.
Give
no,
it all.
Thank you.
But how does the bet make you feel on the inside? And if you get the tingle, you got a fire.
And specifically a tingle where my pen is pointing.
Yeah, yeah, downward, south of the border.
I know that's right. I know that. So the over 4.5 team total, even money, Yankees, V. Manaea gives you that feeling. Can we throw the picture up again? That I know that's right.
Also, I think there's something to be said for what happened last night. The Yankees were down big. They clawed their way back. Grand slam late. They scored a ton of runs. The lineup doesn't stop fighting. That's something you want to see if you're betting a team total.
Judge with the
grand slammy.
I want a Sammy. next on a Wednesday. Ooh. Mike Somich is going to join us. Your boy, the handle, of course, professional better. Ole Somich joins us next.